Well, I'm thankful to Ben for preaching for last week. I heard y'all had a great Sunday together, and I'm glad to be back. I had gone to my wife's brother's wedding last weekend, just outside of Bristol, Tennessee, and then from there we went on up to Pennsylvania, where I grew up till sixth grade and had a great time with family and some old friends. Can you tell? Can you tell I went up to Pennsylvania? How you guys doing? So I tried to get rid of that before I came back. So, and this morning then, we're going to finish up the ABCs of Christian living. We'll pick this up after Pentecost next summer. But what are those basic things that we're to believe? What are those basic things we're to do? But also, what are those roadblocks, those basic roadblocks that we need to avoid? And Romans is a great place for us to go. This letter from Paul to that church is an ABC kind of letter. As deep and as rich and sometimes as hard as it is to understand, it says, here are the things we believe. Here's the core of our faith through 11 chapters. And then here's this turn in chapter 12. Here's what you do about it. Here are the things to do about it. Here are the things to avoid. And that's where we find ourselves this morning. After such a rich theology, what are we to do? Here are the practical things. George was 92. Jane was 89. They were engaged to be married. They were walking down the street talking about their upcoming wedding and happened to see a pharmacy, and they walked in. And they asked to see the pharmacist, and they asked the pharmacist, do you have this particular medication for blood thinner? He said, well, sure, we have that. Well, do you have this medication for high blood pressure? Yes, we have that. Well, do you have these particular vitamins? Yes. On and on. I think 25 to 30 medications in all. He says, why are you all asking all of this? Well, we'd like to use you for a wedding registry. So, in 92 and 89, you just got to be practical. It's practical. So, Romans 12 and on, this is what you do about this rich faith. This is, you have been saved from death in Christ. Here's now how we ought to live. Here are the ABC things that we're to avoid. And that's the first thing, one of the first things, if you're following along in your notes, to avoid is conformity. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to this age. And Paul sure has a word for the people in that region, in that day, and what they were surrounded by, the type of living that they saw. The world was all around them there. Don't be like that. Don't let your lives or your hearts or your minds be conformed to that. I went back, like I said, to Pennsylvania, and I saw a whole lot of pictures from my growing up in the 1970s. I am so upset my mother was conformed to this world as I looked at the bad shirts and pants and haircuts that I had. I looked like just like everybody else in a poly rayon, crazy colored shirt, some bell bottoms, all that stuff. But Cornelius Plantinga, one of the leading Christian philosophers of our day, says, the temptation to be conformed to this world is desperately sweet and strong. It's a real roadblock for the believer to be like the world. And it will leave us stifled. It will leave us bumbling if our lives become conformed to this age. Everything around us is so beautifully packaged in this world to look like it brings life. But as Ecclesiastes tells us, you are just striving, chasing after the wind. It's a constant temptation to have the patterns of our lives, even our hearts, to be conformed to this world. But Thomas Watson Jr. says, a man flattened by an opponent can get up again. A man flattened by conformity stays down for good. It's deadly. It's deadly. Looks like life, but it's deadly. So Paul says to the church, don't be like this world. And he says to the church for their life, but also just in terms of our witness. How can, as James 3:10 says, how can this, from the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be like this. Or as Jesus talked about in Matthew 5, how can salt be, how can it become, be tasteless? As you look across George Barna, who does statistics for the Christian faith, as he looked across not just students but adults, sadly, he's found in America, we just kind of look like the world. We kind of lie like the world lies. We kind of mess around like the world messes around. We kind of cheat like the world cheats. And sadly, in some statistics, Christians are even worse in their lifestyle than non-Christians. And James would say, these things ought not to be this way. Paul says to the church, don't be conformed to this world. It's a great reminder to us this morning. It's a roadblock to our faith, to the life we're to have in him, but also to the witness that we are to have to the world, to say to them that there is something different through our lives that you can have. There is the one who is the way. Not only is there a roadblock here to avoid, but then there's this reminder, and the word's not here, but it's a reminder from Romans 12:2, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's the importance in the believer's life, an ABC thing, that we're constantly to be changing, constantly to be renewed, constantly to be, as Linda prayed this morning, transformed, that the life with God, our life with God, never stands still. It's never static. But we are always growing. I read in an article in Christianity Today that an instructor got up and was telling a business group, you know what, this is just the truth. People just don't change. People stay the way that they are. And the author of that article said, well, then why am I here? Why am I listening to you in your seminar about how to get better and how to grow? You have no idea of how God works. That's the beauty of God. Not only Romans 1 through 12 do we have this great gift of being justified before God through Jesus Christ and have life in his name, but he's not done with us. We're shown here, as we read this morning, all these things that he wants to work out and do in our lives. And I'll admit to you, change, just regular change, is tough. As I turn on the TV, I don't care to watch a lot of those new programs. I'd rather get on eBay and see if I can find a cheap version of $6 Million Man or something from the old days that I want to watch. I'll admit to you, I don't listen to a whole lot of new music, some of it. I kind of gravitate back to the old stuff, right? And now I've just visited my hometown, so I'm in a nostalgia kick. Do you remember this from the 1970s, the Marathon Bar? Y'all remember that candy? They don't make them anymore. I think that's John Wayne's son, actually, right there. I loved it. So I had an old-time kick a few years ago, and I wanted that, and I couldn't find it anywhere. So I got on eBay. Guess what I found? I didn't find Marathon, but I found a Curly Whirly from England. Yeah, I had them imported, and it cost me a few bucks, but it's basically the same thing. Because all these new candies aren't good enough. I want the old candy. Why? Because change is hard. By the way, just speaking of candy, this is my little plug for my hometown. This was created in the late 1800s. This is the Wilbur Bud. Okay, I had the Wilbur Chocolate Factory, was in Lititz, Pennsylvania, where I grew up. The downtown community pool and the downtown park all smells of chocolate. You want to visit? Yeah. This is the late 1800s. Let me show you something from the early 1900s, years later. I'm not bitter, but do you see a comparison here? The Hershey, yeah, just up the road, 20 miles up the road, Hershey stole the Wilbur Bud, put a flat bottom on it. I'm not bitter. Matter of fact, I was at the Lititz Parade on July 3rd. They had this huge parade downtown, and a Hershey truck came by. One of the floats had these three huge, 6-7 foot high Hershey kisses on this tractor trailer, and they were throwing out Hershey Kisses and little candy packs right at my feet. They threw out an entire pack of Twizzlers, okay? I threw it back. Okay, I'm lying. I'm a preacher and I'm cheap. I ate all that candy, but I wasn't happy about it because it was Hershey and not Wilbur. Oh, I don't like change. Anybody like change? Anybody ever learn how to program one of these to record your favorite television show? Anybody? Could anybody actually program a VCR to record a weekly show? Yeah, well, they're not here anymore. Now you have to program your DVR. Change is tough. Let's go to the next one. It's hard to change. This is the street in McGee, Mississippi, where I pastored for 5 years. The route of the students on Friday night has not changed since the 1950s. They take the same route, and it goes right by the parsonage, so I know. The same route goes downtown, go down to the end, take a left, and come by my house. You turn around, and you do the same thing. Where are you sitting right now? Let's take a look at that. While you're laughing at everybody else. How many of you are sitting in the exact same area you sat a year ago? Five, yeah, some of y'all are testifying. Because you're marking your territory. Here's where I am, and nobody can have it. 10 years ago? 20 years? 1997? How many of you, when we moved from the chapel to here, ended up in the same geographic area of the sanctuary? You know it. Change is tough. We like things the way they are. What's predictable? And that's where our faith can be. But Paul tells the church, we are always being transformed. We are always, by our minds, being made new in Christ, constantly renewing them. Yes, we've been saved in one moment, but Christianity is always about a relationship that is always moving in Christ. We are always to be growing. It's never just to be the same. There was an older couple who had just finished, or were right at their 50th wedding anniversary, and they were filling out their tax files to turn them into their CPA, and the wife had picked up the files and noticed there was some extra writing on one particular file, and so she looked at it, and it was about their marital status. And the question was, has there been a change in their marital status? And her husband had filled that in. Yes, there had been. That caught her eye immediately. 50 years, and all of a sudden he's put down there's been a marital change. And here's the two words that he wrote beside that. Older. Better. Always growing. Always changing. Always moving. I love that our God does not leave us where we are. Not only does he do the great work of saving us, but then he grows us. He transforms us. Transformed, renewed, an A, B, C. To be changed. To always be growing. Now, let me say this just as a side road on that. Because of the modern world in which we live, let's just rehearse, and you know this. God doesn't change. Okay, God loves to grow us, and as Linda prayed again this morning, transform us into Christ's image. He does that faithful and good work for us, but God stays the same. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and yes, forever. Hebrews 13. The psalmist reminds us with the Heavenly Father that thou art the same. You're going to bump into modern theologies that will tell you God is in process. God is even maturing. God is changing. One of the great reminders we have is we have one book. We don't have a God of the Old Testament and then a God of the New Testament who are separate, or God who was this way and who is now this way. You can bank on the character of God. He is the same. Praise God for that, and praise God that he doesn't leave us the same. And then very quickly as we finish, there's just one quick reminder that Renee talked about this morning, is the reminder that we all have gifts for ministry. Not only does he work in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives to change us, but he also gifts us for ministry. One of the words for that would be charismata or charisma. Not about personality, but to each believer, we are gifted with a particular gift. I told our Wednesday night crowd one time, I met a pastor who told me that he had all the gifts of Scripture. He didn't just have one or two, but he had every gift lifted, which is interesting because Galatians says, as Renee did this morning, you're not supposed to boast about those kinds of things. But not only do we have talents for ministry, as we heard this morning, but there is spiritual giftedness that you have. And one of the things that we did this past spring is Ben and I led a session on how do we discover those gifts? How do we live out of those gifts? Because if we're not serving out of our gifts, so many times either our ministry will be stagnant, what we're called to do. It just won't be what it's supposed to be because we're operating outside of God, how God's blessed us for ministry. And also, we're just going to be frustrated. We're going to be hitting our head against the wall going, why does this not seem right? I was blessed to meet with one of you over the last couple of weeks and talk about ministry. And one of the things we talked about was this. To find and search out and pray through and seek out where am I gifted? How has God uniquely gifted me for ministry so that I'm right where I ought to be? So there's no frustration. There's also fruit to my ministry. I know Ben would love to talk with you. I'd love to talk with you more. Paul saying to the church, God is so good, he not only changes us, but he also gifts us his grace and his gifts for ministry. Do you know and are serving in and through your spiritual gifts? If not, I'd love to talk with you about that and pray about that. How is it you and I are growing, being changed? How is it you and I are being renewed? How is it you and I are being transformed? But also, let's look at our lives this morning. The temptation is sweet and strong to be conformed to this world. It just is, in terms of the patterns of how I speak, how I play, how I spend, how I present myself. How is it we need to hear this morning? Don't be conformed to this world, so that you and I will prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Let's pray. Father, for this day, to worship you, to lift up the name and the glory of your Son, Jesus, to hear from your word, we give you thanks. Father, as we respond to your word now, we ask your Holy Spirit would lead us to see those things in our lives where we have moved toward the world. Father, help us to be clear about who we are so that our witness might be clear. Father, I pray as well that you would reveal to us where we are gifted, how you've blessed us so that we might, as powerfully as possible, be able to serve in your name through and with our gifts. Our prayer also is that we be open to the things that you would like to change. That, Father, we be open to reading more so that our minds might be renewed, that we would be open to how you might change us and sanctify us and grow us. We praise you that you're a God who is not through with us yet. For all these prayers, Father, we just pray for your blessing and help us in our response. It is in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
Wow, Barry, that was great. We're called to be different from the world. And you know, young people, hear that. We're called to be weird for Christ. And it's such a joy for me because I try to model weird. I try to model weird for Christ. So young people, I want you to know you have permission to be weird for Christ and to be different from the world. And this closing hymn reminds us of that we are to be a shining light to the nations, a shining light to all the peoples of the earth. And we are God's representatives to the world. Now, this is a hymn I don't think we're familiar with, and the words are going to be on the screen. It's called Song for the Nations. So I'm going to ask Rosemary and Donna to play through it one time as we stand for our closing hymn. But listen to it one time, and then we'll sing together.